This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony was the place we'd meet. Second seat, gold Dutch treat, you were sweet. Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Save those lies, darling, don't explain. I recall Central Park in fall, how you tore your dress, what a mess. I confess, that's not all.
Hey, there you go. A little bit of Wayne Newton for you. Remember that? Doc of Shame? Big song for him, I think, back in the 60s. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, my partner, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for coming on board, joining us this Monday morning, December 9th. We got a lot to do. In a few minutes, George Buck. He is trying to get the Republican nomination to run against Charlie Crist in Congress. Charlie, who is in the 13th District, which, by the way, includes St. Petersburg here in Florida. I think you're going to find it a very interesting conversation. George got in a little bit of, a little bit of hot water with a mailing, a campaign mailing that he did, supposedly suggesting that certain candidates, federal candidates, should be executed. So we'll talk about that. Anyway, the impeachment hearings, I'm looking up here at our little television. They are continuing. There's Jerry Nadler sitting in his chair. God help us all. Nobody really knows exactly why we're still doing these impeachment hearings. I thought they were ready to take a vote. Are they going to take a vote? We're going to talk about it. And speaking of all that nonsense, the Inspector General's report on activity by the Department of Justice and the FBI during the Trump election. It's being released today. Is it going to show anything bad that they did? Or is it a big nothing burger? We're going to talk about that. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, we got a goodie. The top 10 most notorious gangsters of all time. Boy, oh boy, that would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it? Stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Tampa Bay's best haircutting mechanism, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. Good, great haircut, great rates. Got to get over there. Get your Christmas haircut. You got to get ready for Christmas, don't you? You don't want to look like Santa Claus. You guys, Andrew's Master Barbershop. And also, make sure that you visit our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. You'll be able to see the upcoming guests. You'll be able to listen to past programs. Ed sets up all of our shows on a podcast, thank goodness. And you can find out, even before you start listening, you'll know who the guest is and our top 10. What more in life can you need? OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, apparently somebody disrupted this impeachment hearing this morning, which was probably the only exciting thing that's going on. They probably hauled him away, but it would have been nice to see him run up to the front there and take a poke at Jerry Nadler. I don't know where this impeachment hearing today is going. Apparently, the Democrats have suggested that they might take a vote, an impeachment vote this week. Let's do it. Let's get it over with if you're going to do it. Let's stop this nonsense, these hearings. There isn't one Republican on your side. You're not going to get any. So it's not going to be bipartisan. What's going on with all of this, right? Democratic lawmakers apparently might vote this week on those articles of impeachment against Trump. Nadler, who's, by the way, the House Judiciary Committee chairman, said yesterday there's a very real possibility that will occur. He said the panel will not decide on these specific articles until after their hearing today. Oh, okay. We'll see what that comes up with. Here's what he says. There are possible drafts that various people are writing, but the fact is we're not going to make any decision as to how broad the articles should be, as to what they contain, what the wording is, until after the hearing. Oh, okay. So now somehow they're going to be able to, this hearing is going to somehow clear up what the articles of impeachment are going to be? Is that it? I see. Well, he says, Nadler does, that articles of impeachment will be brought to the panel later in the week. Well, there you go. Nobody's watching this stuff anymore. They're tired of it. Most independents don't want him impeached. In the meantime, Devin Nunes, who is on the House Intelligence Committee, that was the one that was chaired by Adam Schiff, is looking to fight back after Schiff subpoenaed and released his phone records in connection with the impeachment. Yesterday, Nunes warned his fellow Republicans that the same thing could happen to them. He says, I'm in California, so for sure, state law, you cannot release somebody's phone records. So for sure, that right's been violated. He says, but we also have to look at the constitutional aspect of this. And do all the members of Congress have a right to privacy? And can just one member, because he doesn't like somebody, and he's a political opponent, can that member just subpoena records and then release the records just to embarrass the guy? So Nunes may go to court against Adam Schiff. Schiff is trying to intimate that somehow Nunes is tied up in the whole Ukrainian controversy. Nobody knows anymore. You know, it's like when you're, it's like the focus on what's going on with all of this impeachment is lost in the forest. Nobody even knows what is the thing he's being impeached for. You know, nobody can even verbalize it anymore. And it's going to go nowhere. And we still have money here sitting on the table that says they're not going to even take the impeachment vote. They're going to finally figure out that it's not in their best interest, those Democrats. I guess I got a lot of takers, though, on that to vote to bet me. So anyway, let's take our break. And when we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit. George Buck going to join us. He is hoping to be the Republican nominee to run against Charlie Crist for Congress.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday morning. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Freedom Works. And we are very happy to have George Buck Jr. join us. He is running for the Republican nomination for Congress to run against Charlie Crist in the 13th District, U.S. District, that encompasses, among other things, St. Pete, Florida. And George, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you, Paul. How are you this morning?
We're good. And delighted to have you on, George. I want to talk a little bit about your running. I know that you ran against Chain Gang Charlie the last time, did you not?
And yes, I did. The last time I only announced 9 months prior to the election. I never had a Facebook page. I raised $21,000, and I took nearly 45% of the vote.
Wow.
So you did it by shaking hands.
Indeed. So I guess what you're intimating is that this time you're a little bit, what, more prepared to seek the nomination?
That's an understatement, Paul.
I'm sorry?
I've got a campaign manager this time. We have fundraisers. We're getting very, very high in the donation range, which are all small donations. So I don't owe anybody. I don't have any corporate donations or anything like that. And the money's coming in, the volunteers, and the support has just become unbelievable.
Wonderful. Tell us a little bit, George, about your background and why you think you ought to have the opportunity to unseat Charlie.
Well, my background is I joined the Army after high school, became an air rescue firefighter, spent 4 years active duty, came out of the service, and became a full-time firefighter. I did that for about 16 years, and then I was injured in the line of duty. So God works in mysterious ways, and I was able to go to school on my days off and obtained my college degrees. And then I became a college professor where I taught catastrophic disaster management and counterterrorism operations. And then after that, during that time, I wrote 6 books on biological terrorism. And I never had any aspirations of running for politics until I went to a disabled veterans workshop that was hosted by Charlie in his office, and never felt so belittled in my life. Talked down to, and myself and 49 other veterans.
Really? What exactly did, during that get-together, what did Charlie Crist say?
Well, it was a two-hour workshop, and Charlie was only there for about 10 minutes for a photo op and left.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and then his staff, good people, they were young, but they didn't understand veterans or anything like that. And I was very upset. A good friend of mine, he was a retired Marine gunny sergeant, and said, "Why don't you do something about it?" I said, "What am I going to do? I'm just a fireman." And he goes, "Go kick his butt."
I see. Now, going back to your firefighting days, was that in New York City?
No, I was born and raised on Eastern Long Island, but then I left.
Okay.
And I haven't been back up in Long Island in many, many years.
And you are the author of, 6 books?
Yeah.
On terrorism. That's very interesting. What prompted you to get into writing about terrorism?
Well, I was lecturing at the International Hazardous Materials Conference up in Washington a few years ago, and this was after Oklahoma bombing, and I was lecturing on the management of casualty collection points for exposure to chemical and biological agents. And there was a publisher in the audience and said, how would you like to write a book? And I said, I don't know, I never wrote a book. And they said, we'll pay you this amount of money. And I said, I can write that book.
All of a sudden, you became an author.
Yeah, exactly. That's never dreamed about that either.
That's pretty good. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, and you were a college professor. Now, you got into a little bit of, I guess, a sticky wicket here. At least the Tampa Bay Times has made a big deal out of a fundraising letter that was sent with your name on it.
Yes.
And it had to do with the fact that anti-American radical Democrats possibly should be executed.
That was never stated like that. That was actually fake news.
I never called
for violence. I never called for the execution of anybody. However, I do believe that a traitor, if they are convicted by a jury of their peers, the Constitution said they can be punished by death. And I agree with that.
Okay. Here's what the Tampa Bay Times said. In a recent letter to potential donors, he, meaning George Bach, said that we should hang Omar and other, quote, traitors for, quote, abusing our system to destroy our country, unquote. Is that correct?
No, that is not correct.
Okay. So then,
I never called for the execution of any sitting congressperson.
Okay. So the Tampa Bay Times claims that that's what was said.
Exactly.
But that's not what was said in the fundraising letter. Is that correct?
Right, exactly. It did not say that in the fundraising
letter. Okay.
Right.
So,
but you have to remember, a lot of the left media, they don't allow facts to get in the way of a good story.
Right. No, I can understand that. And there is a lot of antipathy towards some members of Congress, quite frankly, Ilhan Omar and several others, who have expressed some ideas that are somewhat scary from time to time. Omar has been involved in saying things that seem to belittle Israelis from time to time. I believe she has a Somalian background. I can't remember.
Yeah, she came from Somalia.
She did come from Somalia, and she has her own baggage. So we can certainly understand that. Now, let's get back to the actual race. You've got, what, four or five other people that are vying for the Republican nomination?
Yes, there's five? I think it's five, yes.
You've got five? Okay.
Right. And the thing is, we just did a telephone poll last week, and I'm up above all of them by double digits, even after this came out. And the other question I was asked on the poll is, do you believe that traitors should be punished to the full extent of the law? And over 75% said yes, they agreed with me.
Okay. And the full extent of the law is execution or what? Or incarceration for life?
That's to the jury.
The only... Let's go show you how old I am. The only people that I remember being executed for treason in this country were the Rosenbergs. Way back in the early 50s, it was after World War II.
That was early 50s, right.
Go ahead. But you know what I mean? So nobody ever gets executed for treason. They do get jailed, and we've had some people that have been involved with jailing. But
yes.
Go ahead. But I guess what I'm trying to say is... I don't know that people get too upset when somebody says that, you know, if it's treasonable activity, that we should do something about it.
Oh, exactly. Everybody agrees with me. And I'm one of the biggest people that want to see terrorism taken out of being a criminal act. And it's an act of war, and it's an act of aggression against the United States.
We're talking with George Bach. He is running for the Republican candidacy for congressman to run against Charlie Crist, who is the current congressman from the 13th district. So with all of this going on, you know, sometimes the idea is that even bad news is better than no news or publicity, right? So your name is perhaps because of the Tampa Bay Times, you're even more more known than you.
Oh, yeah,
than
definitely.
You, okay. So do you think, just going back to the Ilhan Omar situation, do you think she is a traitor And if so, what has she done that you would consider traitorous?
Well, I don't consider her a traitor. She has not committed any acts. However, she is extremely anti-Semitic. She has talked very negative against the United States, and I take that personal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if they are proven and they do commit treasonous acts, they should be dealt with to the full extent of the law.
Fair enough. Your feelings on Donald Trump, if we might.
I mean, people ask me on the campaign trail, you know, what am I going to do about the economy? I go, nothing. The president's already doing it. Things are going very great. We're more respected. In my past life, I've been to 48 countries in the last 20 years, working catastrophic disasters and training other countries. And during even the Obama administration, people would, I mean, these are generals from other militaries around the world, they would say, what is going on with the U.S.? How come you're becoming so weak? We need leadership in the world. And now we have that back.
So if you get the nomination, George, and you do run against Charlie Crist, obviously you'll want to bring out things that you don't think he's doing correctly. What are some of the things that you would criticize Charlie Crist about?
He's behind an impeachment. I mean, that's the number one thing. He is behind the impeachment. I wish he would take a good look at himself and say, you know, I've been in every single party. When I was a Republican, I was for, you know, he was pro-life, and then he became a Democrat. Now he's pro-choice, so he's flip-flop on everything. And we just can't have people that give up their, my personal opinion, give up their own morals just to get in office.
So you would just talk about the fact that he sticks his finger up in the wind to determine which way it's blowing, and that's what the issue, that's where he'll come down on the issue?
Yes. Yes, I think so. And many, many of the constituents here in Pinellas County, 13th District, they feel the same way.
Okay. My colleague, my buddy.
I was just going to say.
Has a question for you.
Charlie loves it when you bring up the flip-flops. He loves it. He loves being called flip-flop Charlie. You have to bring it up. It seems like it's been 50 years that he's been, you know, with one party and then the next party and then the next party. And into what are you, Republican, Democrat? Then he went to independent?
Independent Democrat.
Yeah, I remember running into him somewhere, and I posed those questions to him, fired him one after another, and after he clearly got annoyed and walked off. And I just kept calling him flip-flop Charlie, and as he was walking away, he was really disgusted. And I said, hey, am I allowed to do that? And his security team said, as long as you don't swear at him or throw anything or put your hands on him, you can say whatever you want. But he was clearly annoyed.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's happened is, the fake media, like the president always says, like I said before, they don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. And they'll do anything to go after a candidate who becomes successful and is starting to climb in the numbers.
And when you brought up the people ask you, what are you going to do about the economy? Nothing, because it's already being done. I don't know if you've seen the latest Michael Bloomberg commercial, his presidency, where he talks about creating jobs and stimulating the economy. And I was like, that's already been done.
Amen.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So you've got the economy going well. And, you know, it's interesting. St. Petersburg and the surrounding area were almost considered, what would you call it, a thermometer of the country here in Pinellas County.
Yes, definitely.
So it's, you know, how people take all of these issues, the impeachment issue and the economy issue. So you've got some good things, I would think, to run with. So are there any other things? Let me ask you this, George. What is it that you would like to accomplish if you win the race against Charlie Crist? What are some of the things that are on your agenda?
Yeah. Well, we have to address the opioid problems. This is just killing our population. We've got to address the illegal immigration situation because the drug cartels are bringing so many drugs. Unfortunately, it's a supply and demand. So we've got to start working on different things to make country even safer. And some of the, we have to, this thing over last week with the Pensacola when we had the shootings, we've got to do something so these soldiers and sailors don't have to fear going to work. And the healthcare system, we've got to fix that. I want it to be in a more capitalistic system, but we've got to do something to help out the especially the elderly. Because Florida is, you know, the age is a lot higher than it is around the country. And this is what we have to do, is just sit down, reevaluate a lot of things, and make some sunshine laws where they expire after so many years because they need to be reevaluated. So, like I said, the economy, health care, general safety are the main accomplishments that I want to do. Also, the homelessness and human trafficking needs to stop.
Well, that's a busy agenda, George. I want to thank you very, very much for coming on, talking with us about all of this. And why don't you tell us your website that people can go to find out a little bit more about you?
Yeah, it's georgebuckjr.com. Buck is common spelling, B-U-C-K.
GeorgeBuckJR.com. That's easy enough. Well, good luck, George, in the race. Maybe down the road we'll talk with you again.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you. George Buck Jr. All right. Let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what is going on in Washington, trying to get Donald Trump impeached, and a couple of other things as well. We'll be back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, Bowling Stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back on a Monday, and delighted to have our friend Angelo Ceresi, who is the brother of Andrew Ceresi, the master barber, and he joins us on a Monday to talk all things political. And Angelo, first of all, weather-wise, how you doing? You shoveling out of a lot of snow up there?
Yeah, we still have quite a bit. Mostly in the 40s this week, you know.
Okay.
About 4 days.
It'll start
it's
melting.
It's a heat wave for us.
Yeah, exactly. I'm watching here on our little television screen, and we got another impeachment hearing. I don't think anybody even knows what it's for. And whether or not these guys, these Democrats, are going to go ahead and vote to send this to Congress for a full impeachment vote or not, Jerry Nadler,
Yeah, I guess he's saying that the evidence against Trump is overwhelming.
Yeah, that's what they keep saying. But if it's so overwhelming, how come they can't get any Republicans to get on board?
I guess they can't, huh?
So far, they have not been able to. Speaking about all of this, one of the things that started it all is Joe Biden's son, Hunter, and Biden did an interview, I guess, on HBO over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
He's promised to prohibit his son and other family members from cashing in on his name and his position overseas, if indeed he wins the presidency. He says that his son Hunter did nothing wrong, but that he, Joe Biden, has not dug into what Hunter actually did while working in the Ukraine. Yes, we all believe that, right? He says this, I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board, and that was it.
If you believe that, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge.
Well, you can sell me the Brooklyn Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge.
Both, yes.
Before I believe it. This is nonsense. And if he is that stupid, that as vice president, when he was in charge of overseeing things in, he was charged by Obama to kind of handle the Ukraine situation, and he didn't know that his son gets on the board of an energy company in Ukraine. He didn't know that? And then there's a picture of him golfing with two of the executives of the Burisma energy company and his son.
And he doesn't know.
And he didn't know it. I mean, that alone should nullify him as a candidate. That kind of brazen nonsense, right?
Right, but you see, our media gives him a blank check and doesn't say anything about it. They keep it very quiet. But, you know, because they're the vocal arm of the Democratic Party. They're just an extension of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I think people are beginning to finally understand that.
It's been like that for quite a few years. The media pushed Obama over Hillary. If you recall that election back then, they were going after Hillary, but they were making President Obama or candidate Obama to be the anointed one. They did the same thing with Bill Clinton. For every Democrat that has run, they have always backed that person running for president. They want to be the kingmaker in this country. And they can't stand Trump because they can't fight him because the American public is behind him. They're telling us that, the American public wants him impeached and this and that, and that he was going to win he was going to lose to Hillary Clinton, you know, and they want you to believe all that stuff. You know when they say the pen is mightier than the sword? That's what they've been doing all these years.
We're talking with Angelo Ceresi from up north way in New York, and we're talking a little bit about what's going on in Washington. Angelo, in the meantime, the Justice Department's internal watchdog is set to release that report today, the Inspector General report, that has to do with the Trump election and whether or not the Department of Justice and the FBI, which is a part of the Department of Justice, interfered in some way with surveillance and some of these other things. Now, whether or not this report is going to really, it's beginning to sound like the report is not going to be a big, exciting deal, and that we're going to have to wait until this guy,
Durham,
comes through with his report. And the reason is that this report, the Inspector General report, can only go after people that are currently serving in the Justice Department. So I wanted to get your thought on that.
Well, so in other words, they didn't go after Comey, and they haven't done anything else, right?
They can't get Comey because he's no longer working
employed
for the government. Correct. So no matter what he might have done, the Inspector General's report cannot, for instance, force him to testify, come back, etc., in any kind of hearing. Durham can do it. He can go after anybody as long as he's got a subpoena in his pocket, right?
Got the subpoena powers, whereas the other person doesn't.
That's right, for outside people. So I don't know how much publicity this thing is going to get. The mainstream media has been downplaying it.
Oh, I you noticed that, too. Yes, they have. They don't want to make a big deal about it. But you know what? If it comes out the way they went about things and everything like that, I mean, you're going to have to judge for yourself because they're not going to, the media is not going to explain anything to you. They're not going to say, well, this person did this wrong and this person did that wrong, because they're there to protect the Democrats. And they're going to be there because it was actually a coup to get rid of this president. When that lawyer of Vindman, I think it is the one that said the coup has started, right?
Yes, it was a lawyer for the whistleblower.
For the whistleblower. And if he says it's a coup that has started, right, are we that dumb enough to know that it really wasn't a coup? We know it's a coup.
Right.
The media has never, ever brought that up, and they never will.
I want to turn a little bit and mention, first of all, two candidates that are running on the Democratic side for president. One is Kamala Harris, who dropped out since you and I last spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised to hear she was dropping out of the race?
Not really. She wasn't connecting with the people, and she was moving really far left. And she, you know, and now she's blaming racism? I don't think so.
You're right.
Because, you know, I mean, it's just that.
At one time, I thought, well, you know, she's a woman and she's African American. She could possibly catch fire. And I really wondered about that. But apparently, she had trouble kind of defining herself, is what I'm reading.
Right. She would go with the wind. One minute she would be this way, one minute she would be that way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Would never really commit to anything when people were asking her something. You know, she's always your typical politician. Never answer the question. They skirt around it, and that's what she was doing.
And then the other person I want to talk to you about is Michael Bloomberg.
Michael Bloomberg.
Former mayor of New York. He's been a Republican. He's been an independent. Now he's a Democrat running. He's going to throw all kinds of money into the race.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean he's going to get the criteria to even show up on stage in the next Democratic debate. But he thinks, from what he said, that the field or crop of Democrats for president are not strong enough to defeat Trump, and that perhaps he's got what it takes. What do you think?
Mr. Flip-Flop? The guy doesn't even know what direction he wants to be. How can he really come across to the people as a strong candidate? One minute he's a Republican, one minute he's a Democrat, one minute he's independent. Which way are you? I mean, what are you going to do for America as a person? You can't even define what your what you profess to be. You know, a Republican conservative, a Democratic liberal, or independent, where you go which way. Whatever. If you feel you're a Republican that day, you become a Republican. If you feel you're, you know, just like this gender neutral things. Either one day you feel if you're a woman, you can use a woman's bathroom. If you feel like you're a male, you can go in a male bathroom, you know?
Very interesting comparing Michael Bloomberg to these gender neutral bathrooms. But I want to ask you about the fact that Bloomberg is not allowing his own news service, Bloomberg News Service, to say anything bad about Democrats, including himself, or to pry into their finances. What's going on? But he's going to allow it. He's going to allow them to do any kind of probe they want on Republicans and Trump.
Yeah,
that sounds a little it's hypocritical.
Right. It's not even American, is it?
No, it doesn't sound like it. And yet he can stand up there and do that and say, well, you know, to his employees, these are the rules.
Right.
I run the
show. If I were those employees, you know, and you're supposed to be like the American media, right?
You're supposed to be reporters.
Right. It's a joke. And he's a joke. I mean, you know, the American people, I don't believe are going to even listen to this joker, you know? Well, and this, I call him the joker. He comes around and he thinks he's, you know, he's going to tell his employees, you can't do this. He's going to tell us the same thing. You can't drink a big gulp, you know? here's just the kind of guy you got. He's telling his employees, you can only go after Trump. You can't do the Democrats, this and that.
Okay.
But, and you can't drink a gulp at the same time, a big gulp.
Angelo, I want to ask you one final question, and I want to thank you again for being with us. But if you had to pick one Democrat, whether they're running currently or not, that Trump should most fear in an election, who do you think it should be or would be?
You know, there really isn't anybody.
I would say that Oprah Winfrey?
If Biden were to run, and he was going after some 83-year-old guy the other day, called him a damn liar and everything like that, I don't think Biden can ever hold up to Trump. To be honest with you, I don't think any of them can. Not one of them. That's why...
So there's nobody, no matter who it is.
Impeachment. This Al Green from Texas, he's the one that said, we can't defeat him, we have to impeach him. And if he wins, we're going to keep impeaching and doing this and doing that. Well, I got news for everybody. If the Democrats, I doubt if the Democrats are going to take anything in November of 2020. They're going to lose seats in Congress, in the House of Representatives, and they're going to lose seats in the Senate. They'll be lucky if they have two or three members in the House and two or three members in the Senate. And I think Nancy Pelosi is going to lose.
All these
people that are calling for impeachment, because the American people are not going to buy this thing. This guy hasn't done anything wrong. And especially when they called for his impeachment on day one when he got inaugurated. The American people can see what they've been doing. It's all political. They can't defeat him. They don't have anything to propose to the American people. And they haven't done a darn thing for the American people since they've been in office. Nothing. And we're paying them. We're paying these people wages, believe it or not.
Right. Well, Angelo, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. You always
I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's always our pleasure. And we'll talk with you hopefully again next Monday, my friend.
Absolutely.
All right. There he goes, Angelo Ceresi, part of the Ceresi brothers. Did you know that they used to be a musical group, Ed? One of them played the banjo and the other played the harp. It was really something to hear the two together playing that beautiful music of banjo and harp.
I'm sure there is some sort of entertainers.
All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ed a little bit about some sports, and we're going to tell you the top 10 most notorious gangsters of all time.
Now I'm happy and the joke's on her, 'cause I found that place for lovers who wander, yeah. She took my love, said she's not coming back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Oh, yes, we're back on a Blue Monday. Thank you, Fats. Freedom Works, our last segment. We want to talk a little bit before we get into some sports with Big Ed and our top 10. You know how Congress has been accused of not getting anything passed because of this impeachment? Well, Chuck Schumer, the Senate's top Democrat, said yesterday congressional leaders have now reached a real breakthrough. It's a deal to give 12 weeks of paid leave to millions of federal workers as part of their annual defense policy bill. 12 weeks. Now tell me this. Do you think that every member of the federal workforce will only take paid parental leave when they actually have parenting to do? 12 weeks? I don't think so. I don't think so. Can you imagine how much money it's going to cost the taxpayers to fund that? Anyway, Schumer said the agreement over the National Defense Authorization Act was reached late Friday night and that a vote is expected later this week. The must-pass bill includes a provision that would allow over 2 million federal government workers to take paid leave to care for a new baby or for an adopted child. I've always wondered about paying people for leave. I would think that in any kind of a business, that the employer and the employee will always work those things out when somebody needs to take maternity leave or any kind of leave to care for a child. It's just common sense that they would do that. But to make it a federal law, and now to make it a 12-week guarantee for federal workers, do you think that that makes any sense? I don't. I really don't. Okay. It is time to talk a little bit of, every Monday we talk with Big Ed after the Bucks play a game. They had the pleasure, I guess you would say, Ed, of hosting the Indianapolis Colts yesterday, and they won. They won the game, and what do you think? Did Jameis Winston pass the test?
I thought of you yesterday. I said, I can't wait to tell Paul this.
Go ahead and tell me.
Right on cue, my friends had good seats, so we went up sitting in the seats yesterday, not the press box. And I like to sit with the folks and listen to, you know, their feedback. And I kid you not, this couple came up to their seat. They had their hot dogs. They had their beer. They sat down, and Jameis threw an interception. They got up and left.
You're kidding. They didn't even eat their hot dogs. They left?
No. They just left. We're out of here. Let's go. I'm not going to.
So, in other words, this guy was just waiting and so that he could get up and walk
and
away.
And it ain't easy to climb up the steps with a, you know, fistful of beer and brats and all that, and you sit down, and it's picked off. It was his first pass of the game.
It was
the first play of the game was a run. The second one was a pass, and he got same as last week. First play of the game was a run, second was a pass, and he was picked off. So he wound up with three picks and three touchdowns, but it's just not worth it. It's not. I listened to a lot of people who said, if this is back next year, we're not coming.
Really?
We'll stay home and watch it.
They've been officially eliminated, I hate to tell you, from the race.
They're 6-7, which I'm surprised. They could possibly wind up 7-9, which is
not that bad
incredible.
Considering.
But here's the thing. Think of what their record would be if this guy was not throwing interceptions. They'd probably win two, maybe even three more games. And then you're looking at a 10-win season here. You're in the playoffs right there. But it's just people don't want to. I wanted to sit and I wanted to absorb and listen to the people that are paying for this, and they're not going to pay for it next year. So
finally, It was a beautiful day for the game, and the Bucks ended up winning by a field goal, 38-35. Were there a lot of fans that were there?
No, not really. Because, the ones that were there, we don't know how much is of the house is papered, meaning free tickets or whatever.
That's true.
And
but what I mean is, when you looked around, was it mostly the seats were filled and it was pretty great?
But when the visiting team doesn't travel well, that's not good. Because usually, like, the Packers, the Bears, the Steelers, they have a lot of fans here. Yeah, so they pick up those empty seats. But yesterday, not so much. Yeah. Not very many blue jerseys in the stands.
Very good, very good. Well, thank you, Ed. It is time for you to get over on the drums because we've got a good top 10. I mean, we work very hard to put this one together. These are the top 10 most notorious gangsters of all time. And it comes from the New York Daily News. So here we go, without further ado. Number 10, John Dillinger. You remember John Dillinger?
Yes, I remember that name.
He was known as Public Enemy Number One. He was killed, by the way, outside the Biograph Theater in Chicago in 1934 while accompanying the infamous Lady in Red. Mm. Okay, number 9, Henry Hill. Ever heard of him?
Yes, from the movie Goodfellas.
Yes. Very good. I'm impressed. He was the basis for that movie in 1990, Goodfellas. He was a member of the Lucchese crime family, and then he became a federal informer. Okay, number 8. Johnny Torrio. He was one of the founders of modern organized crime, and he was the mentor of mobster Al Capone. Mm. Johnny Torrio. Number 7. The Cray brothers. Now, this is Reggie and Ronnie Cray. They were considered the most feared gangsters in London. They murdered, they set fires, they committed armed robbery and assaults. Those were all their specialties. Number 6, Carlo Gambino of the Gambino family. You've heard of him, right? Mm-hmm. He was known as the boss of bosses in the organized crime network. He headed what was called the commission after the 1957 Appalachian meeting of all of the major crime syndicate people. Number 5, Whitey Bulger. Remember of him? Hear of him? Mm-hmm. He was head of Boston's Winter Hill Gang, became an FBI informant, all the while continuing his own crime spree. He got killed, by the way, last year.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he was being transferred between prisons. Right, you are. Okay, number 4. Frank Costello. He was head of the Luciano crime family. He was the most powerful crime family head from the 30s until 1957. Wow, that's a long time. Number 3, Charles Lucky Luciano. Ever heard of him? Lucky
Sounds
Luciano.
Familiar.
Considered the father of U.S. organized crime for establishing its structure, he was the first official boss of the Genovese family. Number 2, John Gotti. Remember him?
Yes.
The Teflon Don out of New York. He became head of the New York's Gambino family, and he always seemed to get off, you know? I remember walking out of court, and he would have this beautiful double-breasted suit he was wearing. He became known as the Teflon Don. All right, Ed. Who do you think was the number one most notorious gangster of all time?
That'd be Al Capone.
Do the drum roll one more time, would you, buddy? Go, Shannon. You are right. Al Capone rose to the top of Chicago's mob scene in the 20s, responsible for the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. So there you go. All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Always remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.